Yes, thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for your presence tonight, because I know you're here. You're here. We're here. That means you're here. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for all that you're going to do this evening. We ask, Father, right now, that everything that we pray for tonight is completely and always fulfilled quickly, instantly. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. That's our belief. We don't believe in any progressive type of stuff. We believe in instantaneous type of answers to our prayers, because we have your faith, Father, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for a clean fellowship tonight without any interruptions whatsoever in the name of Jesus. And I declare and decree a complete and great and wonderful time tonight with you, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Father, that your glory would be coming into each and every room that's brought into here tonight in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for your gifts being in operation in everyone here tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And I praise you, Father, and I thank you for it. And we declare that sickness and disease has no place in this fellowship tonight in Jesus' name. Division, dissension, go now in Jesus' name. Any kind of heart problems, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Everything, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped. In the name of Jesus, we declare and decree a complete healed fellowship this evening, right now. Tumors go right now in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree it by the power of the Word of God. The Word of God says when you pray and you believe that you have received, you shall have it. Bless God, we got it. I command cancers to go in the name of Jesus. Bless God, and I thank you, Father. We praise you, Father, for answering every prayer, because we believe, and we're not taking no for an answer. This date, what we've prayed, is come to pass right now in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody tonight in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Glory to God. Glory to God. I do. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. God. Hallelujah. We believe.
Yes,
we believe.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise
hallelujah.
You, Father.
Praise
yeah.
Jesus.
Go, David, go.
Praise
look
Jesus.
At you, boy.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah to
glory
the Lamb.
God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, bring Pat back in the name of Jesus. Oh, there he is. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. All right, Nick, go ahead, brother.
I got a praise report.
All right, let's hear
my
it, brother.
Mom made it safely to California this evening.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for taking Vanita safely there and wherever else she's going to be traveling to, and to bringing her home safe as well when she comes home. Keeping her safe while she's there, too. In Jesus' name. And let her have a wonderful time there. Give her wisdom and the words to say to light up the world out there. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I wish somebody would get excited in here. Glory to God.
Yeah, she can't stop me from having sweets when she's gone.
Oh, my goodness. Look out, Sugar Bear. My goodness.
You're being recorded, Nick.
Just remember that. Your mother can hear it later. So just everything that is in this room stays in this room, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Amen. Is that Max? What's it? I can't see the other ones. Oh, there. Theo. No, that's Max there. Hey, Max. What's up, buddy? Glory to God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Hey, David. Hey, boys. Max and Theo. Said, I see you. I see you, buddy. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I'm telling you, the Lord has loaded us up tonight.
David has a prayer request. I can see it.
I saw David raise his hand when you said that.
Okay. Go ahead, David. You may begin. Come on, son. You can do it. All right. We'll pray for you then. How's that? Lord, we just bless David with wisdom, discernment, and godliness in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, that he's a mighty man of God in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that he's going to be able to see in the spirit all the time, not just a few minutes, but all the time. And we praise you, Father, for the gifts being in operation in him at an early age in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. And them boys right there, Max and Theo, right now, we ask and we pray, Father, that you fill them with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that tongues would be evident, dreams would be evident, visions would be evident, all the gifts would be in them boys right there too, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And we ask, Lord, that you put joy, peace, and Gabriel too. I forgot about him. And Gabriel to all three of them in Jesus' name. In the gifts of the Spirit, we praise you for it, Father. Bless them right now, Lord, with tongues, gifts, and all the prophetic utterances, everything, Lord. The gifts of the Spirit, every one of them. That's right. And even an ugly face. I saw that ugly face, Max. Hey, Gabe. Hey, buddy. There he goes. All right.
He's doing that on his own.
I see him. Yeah, I see him. Hey, buddy. Hi, Gabe. Yeah, just like David was, too. That boy's growing like a weed, isn't he? My goodness. You're going to be as big as your daddy. Yeah, the boy. Atta boy. That's how to do it. No, he ain't no weed. He's premium stuff. Hey, buddy. I see you over there, David. All right. Anybody got? Look at Andrew. What are you doing, Andrew? yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Any testimonies, praise reports? Yeah, I bet he does. Look at him. So there's Gabriel. And Gabriel said, there's David. Hey, Josie. Anretta. Yeah, Dick, go ahead.
I got a praise report.
All right.
One of our workers, his dad, he used to run our store. He just passed away New Year's Day from leukemia.
Oh.
And so I went to his viewing yesterday and stuff to support them and stuff. Yeah. So,
well, Lord, we just ask that you bless the family with peace in their hearts about it. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, Nick.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Hey, Claire and Rion, how are y'all?
We're all good, thanks. Hello, everyone.
Amen. Amen. One of these days, I'd like for you to take us down in the mine for a viewing.
Well, not the kind of viewing Nick was at.
There ain't one down here.
You don't want to dig into shale, surely.
That'll be cool, Michael. If you come visit, I'll take you on a trip underground.
Yeah, okay.
Showing the big machines. You'd like that.
Yeah, I would like big machines, yeah. The one you're talking about that does the digging.
The drilling and the blasting and the digging, the hauling, yes.
Okay, great. Praise God. All right, anybody else? That's what I'm talking about, Claire. Amen. Okay. Amen. All right. Anybody got a testimony? Praise report. Just a good word. Hey, Gabriel. Yeah, Isaac.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Hey, hello, everyone. I'd like to give glory to the Lord real quick. Michael, y'all remember how I prayed about a week and a half ago? Y'all prayed with me because I was really having a hard time at work because there's just, I'm totally out of my element. Remember that one? And, well, today, there seems to be no short day at work. There are always long days. And, yeah, I stay over with my boss, and he's the type of guy who gets into something and it just, we're hours into it later, right? And that's the name of the game. I get it. I like being around him anyways. So we had an issue today with one of our robots. It was basically, try to don't go too deep into this, but it's just a tool that picks up a little plate, just a little 1-inch by 1-inch plate or so that puts it in a starter. Anyways, but we need a vacuum and we need an air blow all work at the same time. And I guess it wasn't working and we were looking at it and we were looking at the schematics, and I've always kind of just really paid attention to fluid power, you know, directional control valves, where it's pneumatic or hydraulic. And so I was looking at it, and I was talking to him, and you know, the Lord, I haven't really ever got in depth the way these things work. I just know how the schematics look, and I hope to give my best guess, right? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not an expert. But the Lord really guided me today, and we were brainstorming, and he was thinking it worked one way, and don't get me wrong, he's brilliant. I'm not comparing myself to him. but I was like, Dennis, I think it works this way. I think this is the way it moves when it's energized and it's spring return, you know, all this other stuff, whatever. And it as the Lord gave me, you know, made my mind clear, it worked just like that. But the problem was, I guess, and we were going through it because they were originally thinking that the directional control valve assembly was wrong and we needed to get another one. And I was thinking, no, it's not. It's not wrong. It's right. But somebody messed with the plumbing of it. And come to find out, I got to a point where I was like, this, I can't explain why I think it's this now. I don't know why. Because we send a vacuum through one port always until energized, and we send an air blow through another one. And I said, but I think it's this. And I just swapped some lines. Good. Man, there's a whole bunch of air lines that go to these robots, man. Sometimes I'm like, surely they're not all used. Just people don't pull out what they're not using, because 30 years of, you know, of people, you know, working on top of each other. Anyways. So, and sure enough, that fixed it. And I was really thankful. And I was really thankful the Lord, you know, did that for me. And we were talking, but I don't say that to boast on myself, because that's really not it. Because if I've ever been at a weaker stage, well, I haven't been at a weaker stage. I'm here at this stage now. And you know, I guess there's something to be learned from it. But we were talking, and I've told y'all before how my boss will do a lot. And I even do my own projects now here, and I won't get in details. And I know I'm doing pretty good. I feel like in my heart I am. And I know in front of the Lord's, and from the Lord watching me, I have nothing to feel guilty about. Like, I've done good and I've done things that they don't know about. But I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, don't bring it up to him. I said, you don't need to bring it up and be like, hey man, you know, hey, I got that one. Even if it's a sly, boy, get over there. Sorry. Yeah, get on the kids real quick. Anyways. Yeah. And yeah, I tell you what, this kid right here is framing me. Anyways. So long story short is, so anyways, the Holy Spirit just said, you know, Isaac, I'll take care of him. And I felt it. I'll take care of him and I'll take care of his memory. And I just let it go. I let it be at that. I didn't say anything. You know, sorry, this is long-winded, but, you know, sure. Maintenance can be a real prideful trade, and it can be very crucifying, too, because, you know, as people, you know, you hear, well, we welcome ideas. Give us your ideas. Let me tell you, man, a lot of times that's not the case. They don't want to hear your ideas because they feel like you're trying to show them up or put them down or tell them that they're inadequate, or let's just call it stupid, right? But that's not the case. It's just not the case. So there's a lot of pride. Like, man, today I got it's pretty tough. I mean, I get chewed out a lot because a lot of the guys there they're kind of territorial, been there a long time. And here I am, but listen, I'm not like super gun ho. I'm not like, hey, do this. Like, I back them up. I get production asking me, can we get them to work the weekend? And I've told production this week, no. No, we can't. I would rather them make the decision because it's better for their morale. So I really try my hardest to back them up. I mean, I believe in that. You know, I'm not a good leader, man. I just, you know, I know that's the right thing to say, but it's also the truth. It's not something I've ever desired. I'm not good at it. I just do better doing my own thing technically, right? Anyways, so it's been a crucifying day. You know, but sorry, I know where I'm going with this. I know we'll get there, but it started off really bad. I had an apprentice pretty much. He sees the other guys talk to me one way, which it's okay. I take it well. Some of them do it and they're a little more gentle with it, and or not gentle, but look, they're rough. They can be rough with each other, but rougher with me because I'm an engineer and they got to display dominance on me. And that's it. I understand the nature of humans. And so and then some guys do it intentionally mean, and they'll pretend they're playing with you, but in their heart, you know that they really, really mean it and they want to see where they can push you. And I do, and I've been doing really well with that and just kind of, you know, I just listen to them. I'll take it, man. I'll just take it. Anyways. When I had an apprentice do this today to me, I think he's a tad bit introverted and he doesn't know how to handle, he doesn't know where the boundary is. He's been in maintenance less than a month. And man, he lit me up today, cussing me out, calling me names. I mean, cuss words, not like the little cuss word here. We're talking the big ones, right? Anyways. But not like mad at me, but doing it to where he really meant it. And that's one, it's witchcraft, because he's trying to manipulate me. And I just told him today, I said, that's going to be enough. We're done now. Okay. I said, you know, when I was in your shoes, I didn't ever talk to my engineering or techs that way. I just listened. And I said, you can go a long way in this trade. I said, or you can be your own worst enemy. And I was a lot more stern with him though. I didn't yell. But I was stern. I don't want to hear it from him. And I felt real bad about it. I felt really bad. But I feel bad that it had to get to that point, but I don't feel wrong on what I did. I don't feel wrong about it. Because there needs to be a point made. And I took it pretty hard today, and I was just like beat up. And then right at the end of the day, that's when the Lord opened my eyes to help Dennis. And Dennis is actually, he's my boss, and he's a great guy, and he's very non-confrontational. And he's just, he's so busy that he forgets things that you do. And, when this happened today, he looked at me and said, Isaac, thank you for helping me get through this. And I said, hey man, Dennis, thank you for helping me get through it. And the Lord told me, Isaac, let it go and I'll handle him. And you know, I'm real thankful, man. Because I don't have to glory on myself, because I can tell you, I haven't had too many moments here, but I'm thankful nonetheless, because even if I don't have moments, you can still be blessed, because you're at a point where you're not doing it by your own works. You're just blessed because God said you're blessed and your bosses say you're blessed. Why? I can't tell you why. I haven't done anything super cool, but I'm blessed, right? So I'm just thankful, man. Anyways, I hope that means something.
Amen. Yeah. We've got to keep our cool even when they cuss us out, you know. Yeah, I used to work with maintenance. I used to be maintenance, you know. There can be some guys, you know, what way I always handled them though is well, they want to do it their way, you know, and I said, okay, go ahead and do it your way. And if it's not going to hurt anybody, I let them go ahead and do it and fail. And then I show them, see, maybe it's why we should have done it this way and not get on them, but just show them why it was better. And they would understand and they respect you.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. Well, I appreciate that, man. There's a lot I have to learn, but there's also in this thing a lot I don't desire, right?
Yeah.
I don't desire that. I just want to do my job and go home. And, but I tell you what, man, I do appreciate that. I was one day hope to see you guys, soon, because I wanted to pick your brain and how to handle things. But you know, the Holy Spirit can show me. You're right, Mike. That's not an easy position to be in, especially at the level you're at. So I'm not a supervisor. And it's very, very difficult.
Well, I enjoyed my work. I'm like you. I enjoyed working. I didn't care anything about telling people what to do. I enjoyed the control work myself, the troubleshooting and doing it, programming and all of that, you know. But, yeah, you're right. It's a different world when you're up in the management. Okay, you got to have a lot more patience, which back then I didn't have much. All right. Look, praise God. You know, God can change anybody. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? Lord, we just pray for Isaac right now. We thank you, Father, for giving him wisdom, discernment, patience, long suffering, and a watch before his lips to speak only those things that you would have him to speak, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Give him much wisdom in the job he's in, because he's going to need it. We thank you for it, Father. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Anybody else? Under a mile deep, I ain't got no interest in going down a mile underneath the ground. That's too close to places I don't care nothing about.
I got a testimony about that, Michael. I was asked here. I was here probably about 9 months in working in the mine, and they asked me if I wanted to become a production engineer, so work in the mining team, so more towards my formal qualifications. And I asked the Lord if I, because at that time I was only on contract, and we wanted to stay here longer, but I was only on a 12-month contract, and that contract was coming up in about 3 months' time. And I thought, oh, this is maybe a way to become more permanent and do that. And I asked the Lord, and that's when I opened the Bible and my finger landed on, they dig into Sheol. And he gave me a whole bunch of other confirmations, but I remember that one. I said, no, they dig into Sheol. I said, okay, I don't think I'm going to be doing that. I'll just trust him. And yeah, so that's when he gave me a more of a office kind of job. Later than just a month or two later after that, I got offered this position, which was a much higher paying job. And it was a, you know, full-time permanent deployment. Yeah.
Praise God. I don't blame you. I wouldn't go down there anyway. There's boogers behind every corner. All right. Anybody else? How many of you saw that video that Lana posted on Outreach? I recommend everybody look at that. I'll say this. I've known of him, of Curry Blake, for many years. And at one time I knew him personally. But that's been many years ago, and he probably doesn't even remember me. But anyway, he has surpassed what Blake has done as far as healing, divine healing, and teaching people to heal. And the results are amazing. At Lake, at his best, when he was at his tops, had about a 76% success rate in his healing, divine healing technician place up there in Spokane. Thank you, Barry, for giving me the nod on it. The last time I checked, Curry was at 97%. And the way he does it, the way he teaches it, is very encouraging. And he uses scripture to back everything up. And I went through his divine healing technician course many years ago, back in the early 2000s. I had him up to Arkansas and had him up there a couple of times and met with him many times after that, but he does. His healing technician stuff is spot on. Now, there's some other things that he has I have problems with, but that's it. If you're going for healing, that's something to look at. He's real good, and he'll get you pumped up to go out there. What he does, he likes to get people, to make disciples. That's what he wants to do. That's his main job, is to make disciples. And he does a fine job of it. He's taken all the Lake stuff and studied it for years and years and years, and even went to, and saw back in the 80s, early 80s, he went to Lake's daughter and son-in-law, Wilford Wright, and picked their brains about it, about Lake and how he did it, and got all his, matter of fact, they gave him, through a prophetic word that Lake had, who would take over his ministry, Curry was the one that fulfilled that prophetic word that he had that would take it over, because of certain instances that happened in Curry's life at a young age. And they knew when he told them what happened, the son-in-law said, well, yep, you're the one. You're the one. I knew it, but I didn't know until you told me just now what the actual event was that pinpointed Curry as the one. But anyway, I would advise you to take a look at it. It's the same teaching that we've been given from David, only in a different direction. We know everything that he teaches, but he does it in a way that that really encourages you to go ahead and do the word. Yeah, Pat.
Was John Lake's the difference? What was the difference between the two that increased the percentage rate, I guess? Would you say, what were the specifics? I know the thing that hit me about David's teaching was the perseverance and the believing the word, keeping the word, and persevering through until you see it manifested. Now, that's something, obviously, that in the apostate mentality does not exist. I won't say it doesn't exist, but it's very rare. So what would you say is the, I guess, the defining elements that changed that percentage? Well, let me stop for a second. John Lake was... His ministry was, correct me if I'm wrong, it was more in the early 1900s. Is that correct? Or is that, he was after?
That's right. That's correct. No, it was in the early 1900s, from the late 1800s to the early 1900s.
Okay.
He died in 35, I think.
Okay. That's what I was remembering. So perseverance until you get through to the answer type scenario wasn't readily practiced in those days, or maybe not aware of, at least that I have read. So I'm only assuming that maybe Greg, is that his name, Greg?
Curry, C-U-R-R-Y, Curry Blake.
Okay, Curry Blake is probably picking up on, I'm assuming he's picking up on that addition to Lake's teachings and adding that to Lake's teachings.
Okay, here's what the difference is. The difference is not a difference, it's actually an addition. Okay. Curry took all of John G. Lake's material. He has everything that he ever had that's in the family had that Lake left to the family. He has every bit of that, and he studied it to the T. He really studied it, and he understood everything. But what he understood about it, he took it to the next level. And to the next level, he found out some other things that Lake didn't know. And I can't go into them now. It'd take too long. But that's basically what he did. He added on to what he knew about Lake's ministry. And when he did that, that closed that gap of the healing rate. Blake's job right now is to... and he'll tell you this, his job is to make disciples that go out and do the work. That's his job. And that's what he focuses on. He does the same thing that Lake did, only in a better, more, I don't know how to explain it other than here's what current difference in Curry and Lake's is. Lake would make people stay there for 30 days until they got healed. Okay. Curry believes in instantaneous healing. He pushes instantaneous. Don't believe in a progressive healing. He said it may happen, but that's not up to you to decide. He said you go for, if you believe in instantaneous healing, that's what you're going to get. If you believe in a progressive healing, that's what you're going to get. Lake always believed that at some time they're going to get this healing within the next 30 days. Well, that's believing in a progressive healing. But Curry changed it in that one. That's just one aspect of it. This is to give you a kind of a thumb. What do you call them things you put on, the sores put on their thumb? Heck. Anyway. Reader's Digest. Thimble. Just the thimble deal of what one of them was. That was one of them. He goes for instantaneous, and they get a lot of instantaneous healings. Now, he believes in, I'll tell you something else that Blake believes in, and I believe this because I've seen this happen too. Instead of everybody putting their hands on somebody, the one that's praying for them is the only one that puts his hands on them, because it's the power of God in him that goes through there, that goes through him. His faith is what's healing him. His faith is himself. I've seen this happen when a person prays for somebody. I've seen the power of God go through the person that needed it and hit somebody behind them because they had their hand on them. Said, oh, glory to God, you know. And what happens is a lot of the healing power goes out of them into the person putting their hand on them. I haven't brought that up in any kind of a setting, but I've seen that happen. So I'm just throwing things out there that what he believes, okay? And I believe that part of it anyway. I do. Because I've seen it happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what he would do, he found out that he's a little short guy. He's probably about 5'5" or so. And sometimes he has to stand up on a deal to get somebody's head. He found out his arm would get tired. Done that a lot of times, you know. So he started grabbing them by the hands. So he could let go if he had to, you know, if he fell or whatever. Anyway, he found out that worked real good. And the power of God would go through him and heal him instantaneously almost all the time. Does that make sense to everybody? And I've seen it work in my life as well when I was out ministering. Deliverance the same way. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm not trying to lift him up on a big, everything that he teaches, David teaches too. Everything that he teaches, David teaches. Him and David are just alike, except for the style that he teaches. It's a different style. As a matter of fact, Curry was also a product of Lester Sumrall was one of his mentors also. And if you know anything about Lester Sumrall, he tooled around with Jack Carter for a long time, all over the world. And you know who Jack Carter was, don't you? Everybody know who he was? Well, he was a product of Lake and Wigglesworth. He was an older man that Lester, as a young man, hooked up with. The Lord told him to hook up with him. He told him, he said, he found out, the Lord told him, I want you to hook up with this man. He said, he's in Australia now. And so Lester, without checking with anybody, bought a ticket at, I believe it was 19 at the time, and went down to Australia. And he just missed him. He had gone over to Europe or somewhere over there, maybe India. And so he got another. He didn't have any money. The Lord just provided it the whole way. And then he finally hooked up with him over in Asia somewhere. I think it was India, if I remember correctly. And then when they hooked up, they always, here's what's funny about it. is he always called one of them, Mr. Carter and Mr. Sumrall. They never called each other by the first name. Of course, Carter was an Englishman, I believe. And, but anyway, it's a good story. But he went around the world with Carter and saw many miracles himself of thousands and thousands of people healed, and learned a lot from Jack Carter. And then he went over to England. The Lord had him go over to England, Sumrall, and meet up with Smith Wigglesworth. And he stayed with Smith Wigglesworth a couple of years. In fact, Wigglesworth invited him over there. Invited him to his house, and nobody had ever come, had gone to Smith Wigglesworth's house. But Wigglesworth told him to come over there, and he mentored him for a while, up until the war started. And when the war started, World War II started, before it started, they made all the non-citizens of UK go back home. And that's the reason he had to leave him. And then that's when Smith Wigglesworth died after that, right after that. And then he came back over here and did a lot of miraculous things. He was kind of a blunt man. I don't know if anybody ever remembers him, Lester Sumrall. He was, I liked his teaching. Then there's David Hills. I really like his teaching. He's about as well-rounded as you can get. I just had to plug him a little bit there. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? I'll throw this out there. What's the best book David wrote? Be careful now. I can tell you right off the get-go which one was. Yeah. That's right, Claire. Which one caught your eye the best? Which one gave you more info that turned you on? Yes. And Rutter got it. To me, that's the one. What's the next one? Does anybody not agree that Sovereign God was something that turned you on to the Word of God? That opened up a whole new world to me, Sovereign God. It did. I said, oh my gracious sakes alive, looky here. This man knows something. And it did. When I found out that God was sovereign, I said, oh my goodness, he's what? He knows everything? Oh my. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I know when I started I must have started listening about 2005 or something like that.
Yeah.
It was America's Last Days. I think I've probably heard every message that was used to put Sovereign God together. Because so many, every one of them, as you're reading through that book, you say, I remember listening to this on a message or whatever. But I think one of the messages that got me, hit me the most was the entering into the wilderness. Because I think maybe in those days I kind of had the frame of reference that wilderness bad, promised land good, you know, and I didn't see, oh man, that's a beautiful picture that Barry in Maryland just posted. That is cool. I love that picture.
That's a special picture, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. What mountain is that, Barry?
That's Mount Hood.
Yeah, that's the hood, man. That's the hood.
In Oregon.
Yeah, that's where I learned to ski. Yeah. Wow.
We can see that from this area real well all the time.
Oh, yeah, cool. You know, you could stand up there, right there in the middle of that mountain. Here, I'm getting off on another subject, but right there in the middle of that mountain where you see the trees up at the highest level of trees, that's where the ski lodge is. And you can, from that point, you can go up on the lift. It takes you up a little bit higher and you can look out across south and you can see all the way across. I mean, you can see all the way across Oregon. Not all the way, but you can see other volcanoes, I think Sisters Mountains and all, everything like that. And it looks just like that as you're looking south. You can see all these mountain peaks sticking up there.
How high would you be?
That, I think Hood is 14,000 feet, if I'm not mistaken.
What, would you be all the way on the top?
No. No, I think the ski lodge is around, 8 or 9,000, maybe 10. Do you know, Barry? 10,000 feet, maybe?
Don't know.
Yeah. It's up there pretty high, though.
But, oxygen up there.
Well, you don't need any oxygen up that high.
Sure you do.
It's beautiful. Sure you do.
Go ahead.
What was I talking about? I got derailed. I don't know what I was talking about now.
No, you did. You derailed yourself. Oh, my.
What were we talking about?
Lake
the wilderness lake. Experience.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from the traditional sense, or traditional Christian view, I guess, the wilderness had always been taught that the wilderness is bad, you know, that God took the children of Israel, through the Red Sea into the wilderness, and then he could have taken them straight across, you know, to the promised land. It wasn't very far, really, but he chose, because of their rebellion and whatever, they circled around in the wilderness for 40 years, etc. And, you know, I'd always heard messages that, you know, you just obey, you're going to make it to the promised land quicker. You know, you get through that process. But I never really caught the concept that the wilderness in our life, number one, as David is taught in those messages, the wilderness obviously is a spiritual journey, and it's connected to whether you're believing the word of God or you're not. Once you believe that word of God, you've walk in it, you're walking in the wilderness. In that place of lack and no supply. And so that was very beneficial to me in just catching that concept that this is a positive thing, a positive thing for our growth and for our personal development and becoming aware of the Lord and all these aspects that he has of his personality and his character and whatnot. So that was, to me, was the most impacting portion of, and I believe he basically has referred to it in Sovereign God as well. But anyway, that's kind of what hit me.
Yeah, what I liked about Sovereign God, it kind of touched on a little bit of everything. And it brought it all together, you know. And the next one that I liked, I don't know about y'all, but I liked Hidden Manna. And that was probably his most extensive work. Well, I know it was. He hadn't finished it yet. All right. Anybody else got a favorite? Yeah, Debbie.
We came in on hidden manna too, because there was a paper that Denny's twin brother, it somehow got to Denny after he passed away, his twin brother passed away, and it sat on a pile of stuff of his brother's at his feet, next to his chair, not at his feet, but next to his chair in the dining room for over a year. And there's this, on top was this paper, well, about three papers that were stapled together. He finally picked it up and started reading it. And it was portions of part of a chapter of from Hidden Manna. I don't know how Danny got it, his brother. He never mentioned anything to us about it. But then he started reading that and said, who is this guy? So I was here. I shared it with me. He shared it with me. And we were so blessed by what we were, you know, we read, and we found how we could find it on YouTube, and we followed right on YouTube, Hidden Manna. That's where we came in on that. So it was awesome. All the revelations in that. Oh my goodness. We would just look at each other and go, wow. It was amazing. So
yeah,
that was our favorite.
Yeah.
Debbie, what time, what date or what time was that? What year?
That he first found that paper, I was like 14. That's when we started in March 2014.
I caught him on the Prophecy Club. That's where I first heard about it. All those
from Prophecy Club. Yeah, that's where we started. Sorry. That is where we started listening to everything too, after we found that paper.
Yeah.
The Prophecy Club, yeah.
Then I couldn't get enough, you know. And then when he went from 3 hours to 2 hours, I got mad. Y'all remember that? Yeah, that was back in, I don't know, 2007 or 8, somewhere along in there. On what was the name of that platform that he used back then? Anybody remember? Gosh, that was ancient.
I think that was Pal Talk.
Yeah. Pal Talk, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Was that in 2010? Was it? Okay. No, it was before then. Yeah, it was, because
2008 and 2009.
Okay.
Mhm. That's when I came in.
Yeah, she didn't miss it by much. Yeah, Isaac.
I was just going to say on Pal Talk, I was that guy who never unmuted. I apologize. Always meant to.
Oh, my. Yeah, well, you know, at that time, I had a Pal Talk chat room also. Paul, Rommel, and myself both did at that time. But it was... Boy, it was ancient. Now we got this Zoom. This thing we can see everybody all over the world. It's awesome. Right here in my bedroom.
Julie, I got a question. Go ahead. Julie, when did you come in?
2010, in the spring. Never look back.
Yeah, I believe I was like you, Pat. I came in all four or five, I believe. I believe it was five, actually. Yeah, Isaac.
Well, I thought but you're talking about favorite books. I was exposed to Sovereign God, and well, you know, not to go through this whole spiel, but it's really. It's cool because, you know, I was kind of like in a big church, you know, like a big mega church, those churches that are on TBN. And I met somebody, in Indianapolis. It was actually Garrett Crawford. I met him in Indianapolis in like 2007, and he always kept in contact with me. And one day I went over to his house in like 2008, and, he gave me a Sovereign God. And I was reading through it, and man, it was crazy. And I was like, my goodness, this is the truth. I'm like, man, just, I don't know. Like, I had such an innocent and yet excitement in my heart. I was ignorant too, in a sense. I was just like, man, this is amazing. What is this truth? Because here's what I did with it. I was not very smart. I'm not trying to knock myself. Forgive me, Lord. But I didn't know what I didn't know. But I was so pumped. And I thought, oh, my Lord, I've got to share this right now with my in-laws. It is going to change our life. Who knew we were wrong this whole time? But I didn't take it like, oh, I was so excited. I never experienced, like, the truth's the truth. It should convince everybody, right? Because I didn't know. You know, it speaks volumes to me today. And it always builds my faith that the people, that when you see people who can't receive the word or can't receive the truth, man, you know, it's sad, but it is a veil, and it really increases my faith. It's like, not in a bad way. I know that sounds so morbid. I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying that the word holds true, and you witness it, that people don't want to receive the truth, and they won't, but it's so real. And that's how I felt about Sovereign God. So first thing I did, I got in my car. I drove to Mariana's. Her parents were there because, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, I don't know where everybody's at, but they're big, big tithers. Just faithfully works. Huge, huge. I mean, that is their essence of belief. You do your 10% no matter what, and that's how you get to heaven. And they're very on everything, and they're very, very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Legalistic.
No. Well, yes, but yes and no. Yes, in that regard, but I mean studious. And I'm trying to look for the word, a better word, studious. But they're very good when it comes to that. Like diligent. They're very diligent with it. Won't miss. Dude, they just everything they get, it's 10%. And so here I go over there. I said, oh man, they're gonna see this truth. They're going to be able to save so much money. They're going to learn that this is the truth, and they don't have to do that. It's grace. I'm so excited. And I went over to their house, and I sat down at the dinner table with Mariana and Miss Aceto. And I said, Miss Aceto, look here. And I read some stuff to her, and I showed her the Bible, and like Galatians 5. I said, it's true. You don't have to no more. Here it is. And, man, I tell you, I was pretty much flogged. I got a good flogging coming my way. And I was so surprised. I didn't know. I thought, man, what I do wrong? I thought, this is it, man. This is awesome. But what can I say? Is that how much it affected me? There was so much joy in my heart. And even though I was innocent in it, now I know not to do that. But it just rocked my world. It was so amazing, man. So I really liked Sovereign God. Just everything about it. I didn't know that, you know, you don't even learn these things in church as far as, you know, God's sovereign even over evil. You would think that's common. You should know that. They don't teach it. Satan's this other entity who is equally powerful. Nope, not true. But that's what I thought. So, super cool.
I tell you something that's really heartbreaking, Isaac. We've got a couple here that talks about a lady that went outside of her church and got prayed for and got healed in her deaf ears. She couldn't hear anything, and God healed her ears, and she went back and had a testimony with the church, and the pastor said, that's of the devil. She believed it and lost her hearing again. That's the nonsense. That's the religiosity of some of these denominations, yes. Yeah, that's sad. I said, but you're right, man. You can't just go out there and unload on people because, man, you'll hurt. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt you. I've done that so many times. I get excited like you, Isaac, because I want everybody to know the truth, you know. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Michael.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I didn't know. But I was so excited, and I knew it was going to change their life because this is the truth. And you know, to this day, that's when we talked about miracles a few days ago or week ago or so. To me, that's the number one miracle in my life, is the fact that I was willing, and I'll take that back, Lord, forgive me, the fact that the Lord would allow my ears to even hear that. That to me is still the number one thing, biggest miracle in my life, that I could, that the Lord could be like, Isaac, you're going to accept that you're wrong. Like, that is a miracle, man. And, yeah, I totally did that. I unloaded, but with the best intentions, but don't do that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Patrick.
I saw I'm pretty sure everybody here has probably seen it, but there was a movie that was made around 2000 called The Matrix. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's a sci-fi movie. It's pretty clean relative to, you know, immorality and this and that and whatever. But if there's anything that I have seen that the world has made that more closely depicts the Christian experience and the discipleship and the spiritual battle, that movie would be the one. Not that I'm saying it would, I'm not even saying it was made by Christians or anything like that, but this movie really depicts what, and exactly what Isaac is describing there. But, you know, it's one of those, you know, I would encourage you if you've seen on the conservative sites, the statement about red pill and, you know, red pilling somebody, this is where that statement or that comment came from. It was from a scene in that movie, but it really is, and I kind of identified with that a lot because of the fact of I began to recognize early on in my life that there was something wrong with this picture that we're living in here. There's something, you know, you know, in that scene in that movie, The Wizard of Oz, and you see the guy, you know, the people have gone into Dorothy and the lion and all that have gone into the to see the wizard. And this is when he was exposed. And he said, pay no attention to that man, that goofball or whatever behind the curtain there. Pay no attention to him. Well, that was, I started to experience that as I was looking at society and looking at things around me. I could start to see the influences that were causing these things behind the scenes, and that many of those influences were powers behind the stated powers, or, you know, it was the powers behind the presidents and the governments. And you could kind of see this whole thing. Maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist from way back, I don't know. But anyway, I just say that particular movie will definitely, it's a type of the Christian experience. So anyway, I just toss that out. Not that I'm promoting movies.
Praise God. I've never seen it. I've heard a lot about it, but I've never seen it. Yeah. Anybody want to see or listen to a great song that just came out? Okay. It's one that I liked. I heard it the other day. Somebody sent it to me. And then I heard it again today. Somebody sent it to me. I think it was Julie. Let's see here. Yeah, that was a good one. I wonder if he got the idea of that song from Prison to Praise. You know, that book. Or was he just listening to Paul and Barnabas? I don't know. It's awesome. I like the song. It's a good song. It's Zach Williams, by the way. Yeah, that's who I got it from, Julie. She sent it to me. Yeah. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? 911. Yes, Patrick.
I hate to take up the floor because I tend to ramble when I start speaking. But
no, you don't, in Jesus' name. We won't allow it.
Praise the Lord. A few days ago, I posted something on Signal about stumbling blocks, offenses, I think is what it was. And when the Lord seems to pinpoint something in my life, or He starts to give me something, it usually comes through thought progressions. I know that it doesn't seem like I get dreams and visions and that sort of thing, at least not very often. But He kind of speaks to me through thought progressions. This came to me as I was putting some things together. And on my way to work, I'm still working in New Jersey. So I have about an hour drive every morning and back. And so I listen to a lot of stuff it's really a good time for me. I like the traveling, the listening and praying and in the drive and everything like that. I try not to text anything, but hey, I can certainly pray. I just wanted to read this and apply it to something that the Lord showed me today as I was coming in. But I was, the revelation or the understanding of offenses and how it functions in our life and at least how I've recognized it functioning in my life. And most important, how the Lord uses that situation. I started over in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. And there it's Jesus talking. And he said to his disciples, it's impossible but that occasions of stumbling should come. And then he goes on and says, but woe unto him through whom they come. And of course, good sir, in verse 2 says, it's well for that man or the person that that he should be better off that he wasn't even born. It would be better that a millstone were hung on his neck, etc. So he makes a point of it, but the thing that hit me about it obviously was it is impossible but that offenses will come. So offenses are going to be there. They're coming. Whether we like it or not, they're coming. God doesn't love them, like them, doesn't want them in our lives, but He's going to use them when they come in our lives. Matthew 18:7 was a parallel to that same verse. And He says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe unto the man that where those offenses come, through whom they come or whatever. And I looked up the word for offenses, and it's the word scandalon. And if you look up the meaning of that word, it is the stick that was for the used for baiting a trap. And I don't know if, you know, I've never been, I'm not a hunter and I'm not a trapper and all that sort of stuff, but I did watch cartoons when I was a kid, and I saw the upside down box in the cartoons where they put a box upside down and then you lift up one side of that box and you prop a stick under the edge of that box. And then you put some food or something inside so that it entices an animal or whatever to crawl under that box. You tie a string on the stick and you go over and hide behind a bush or something like that. When the animal comes in, you hold the stick out and the box comes down and traps that animal. Well, this word for scandalon or offense is the meaning of that stick. And so what the Lord showed me then was, it has a necessary purpose in God's hands. And what I said at that point was our natural response to an offense in our life is generally to strike out in defense, to protect ourselves, to you know, emotionally cover ourselves and protect ourselves and maybe even lash out. But when we lash out and kick at that offense, the picture is that we're kicking that stick out from underneath that trap, and that trap falls on us, and we're entrapped in our own reaction to that offense. And as I was looking at then verse 9, verse 8 of Matthew 18, says, if thy hand or thy foot cause thee to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is good for thee to enter into life maimed or halt rather than having two hands or two feet be cast into eternal fire. And of course, in the next one is if your eye causes you to stumble, you know, pluck it out, etc. Well, we know obviously that God is, you know, no person ever meant harm, intentionally meant harm to their own body. Now, I'm probably wrong on that, but the idea is that you're not going to, that's something that's highly improbable that you're going to be so convicted you're going to cut a hand off or poke an eye out or something like that. Again, it's so, I think what the Lord was showing me in that description is there to provide us a picture of His intensity or His seriousness about being in a position of offense, being offensive or taking offense. And what I, and so when, and basically I said, when our heart is searching for release, our mind tends to blame what it determines to be the cause of the problem. And therefore we justify ourselves from our own personal responsibility to change. If we look out, we strike out, focus goes out at that offense, then we are justifying or trying to relieve ourselves. The possibility that we could be the cause of our problems is a fearful place we tend to avoid, especially if we feel we don't have the ability to change. And this, of course, is the place where God is leading us, for none of us have the ability to change apart from His unmerited influence upon our heart. Then he basically showed me that offense must come. God allows offense to come into our life so that he can provide the motivation in us to learn to forgive others. And it's not just obviously forgiving the ones we love, forgiving those in our family, forgiving those that are close around us or whatever. All of those are very, very important. But at least what I'm starting to see is that God wants us to be in a place where we forgive. We have the grace to forgive those that are unforgivable in our own mind or through our own perspective. And that's the place where we find a place of release or a place of peace in that environment. Because that's the place where God's heart is. He has forgiven the unforgivable, and he wants that heart to be in us. And he's placed it in us. So the thing that hit me today as I was going to, it was this protective covering. You know, we're I'm going to say, as males or men or husbands or fathers, we are trained in society to be tough, to be forceful, domineering, to be strong, to be leaders, and to not be swayed by our emotions, to, you know, all the, to fight down fear and, you know, all these types of things, which are good. But these offenses that come into our life, that there's the psychological thing that happens is when we men are offended, we tend to, instead of, you know, going in the corner and maybe weeping or crying or whatever it is, I don't mean to say this derogatorily or whatever, but we tend to build a protection around us. We tend to emotionally fortify, get stronger, overcome. And I think because of that, God has blessed us with wives, probably, you know, mothers, but wives that are placed in a position where they have to learn to protect. I'm kind of getting mixed up where I was going with this. We build a protective barrier, and that protective barrier, psychological barrier around us, which the world kind of trains us to learn and to develop, is it runs contrary to the openness and honesty and vulnerability of a relationship, a marriage relationship, which is obviously our marriage relationship is a picture of the intimate relationship God has with his church, Jesus has with the church, God has with with us. And so there's, so I guess the thing that I was seeing today as I was driving to work is that there is a heavy responsibility on wives, because God has created wives to be a perfect help, a perfect unity, a hand in glove type of relationship. And that relationship requires honesty, intimate openness, and all these things. And I guess I'm trying to explain, but and so that type of close relationship can be potentially room for a lot of offense. I guess I'm speaking to the wives now. Can be there's room for a lot of offense simply because of the way husbands have been, brought up and out of the world, or we're coming out of the world, we're coming into new life in Christ, etc., which is, it takes time to go through that wilderness, etc. Maybe I'm speaking all this to myself. Maybe I shouldn't be speaking it to anybody else. I don't know. But I'm just saying that this aspect of being free, of void of offense, in Acts 24:16, Paul says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man." That word for offense there is the word for stumbling block, which is this scandalon, the same word. Philippians 1:10 says, "So that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and void of offense." In other words, there is no that environment, that thing of offense is not in us. It's not there. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And then just to kind of close it up, in 1 John 2:8, it says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." There's no environment of offense, or taking offense, or giving offense. So I think, I guess the point that I was seeing today and that I wanted to express is that it is absolutely impossible. I know that God puts it on our responsibility as individuals, that if we have offended others, that we go and make it right. We go, we confess our sin, we restore that relationship, and we move on. But I'm going to say that it is absolutely impossible to be able to understand, perceive, become aware of every place we as people have offended others. And God knows this, and he knows that, it because of that, we as individuals, have to forgive everybody. Have to forgive everybody. That occasion, that place of offense has to be gone within us. And it is everybody's responsibility to forgive others first. I believe so. I don't know. Maybe I'm through rambling, but I had to kind of express that today. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Patrick. I want to share a little something if I could. I've been doing some studies on tongues and the gifts. And I think it'll help everybody if I give you some of what I've seen as far as what the Word says about tongues. If you remember, we talked about late when he said that tongues were the making of my ministry. And if you look at the ministry he had, you'll see that there were several hundred thousand healings and miracles that he had, literally, that they hadn't seen since the first century church. Lake said this about tongues. He said, speaking in others' tongues is the dynamo of the Spirit. And we talked about that a little bit the last time. The dynamo, of course, is a generator by hand, a manual generator that generates electricity when you turn a crank that stores in a battery. And what he said was that you begin to pray in tongues and it'd be like that dynamo which created and generated energy and power. When you pray in tongues, that power of God comes inside of you like that dynamo is what he was liking it to. And it is stored until you need it. Then if it was not needed right then, it would be transferred and stored in your spirit like a battery. So that when you needed it, he said, it was there and you could release it at will. Now, what he's told me in this is that tongues is essential to walk like a disciple of Christ. When you walk like a disciple of Christ, you have the power of God. You also have the humbleness of God. You also have the love of God to get yourself ready for this great happening that's fixing to take place, and that's the shaking of the world. And if you're not ready, you know, a lot of times we're not ready for things that pop up in front of us when we want to go to our prayer closet and get some word from God before we pray for somebody that's laying sick on the floor, you know. No, we got to be ready all the time. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. He given us the spirit of miraculous ability. When he said he gave us the spirit of power in, where is it? Mark 16:17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. That's not it. Anyway, the power of God, that word power is dunamis. And that word means miraculous ability. And that miraculous ability comes about by praying in the Spirit. That edifies you, builds your faith up, builds your strength up in God, builds your character up. It also, there's three things that tongues does. These are signs. Tongues does one thing. It gives you a direct communication with the Lord. Direct communication. It's the language that he's given you to speak to him. When you speak in tongues and you pray in tongues, you're praying the most perfect prayer that can be prayed. In other words, everything that you pray in tongues is answered. Everything is prayed because the most correct way to pray. Acts 1:8, I was going to quote that too. I'm glad you put it up there. You shall receive power when the Holy, Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. Are we in the uttermost part of the world? Yeah, we're in the uttermost part of the world. That's the word he's talking about. You shall receive power. That's the one I was looking for. The Greek word for power there is dunamis, and it means miraculous ability. Thank you, Lord. The whole point of Jesus' coming was to get the Spirit of God back into his people. They went 4,000 years without the Spirit of God in them and the Spirit of Jesus in them. The Spirit of God in them was not done up until Jesus came back after Adam fell, Adam and Eve fell. They didn't have the Spirit of God. Now we have access to it. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to utilize it as we should and be disciples as doers of the word and not just readers only, you know? And what I want everybody to understand about tongues is it's not just the least gift. It's actually the most important gift that we have. When you have tongues and you don't pray in tongues much, you're hurting yourself. Well, I don't have time. Well, what do you have time for? I've just found, look, I've spoken in tongues a lot my whole Christian life, but the Lord has upped the ante a little bit. Actually, a lot here just in the last month or so, and has told me to increase my praying in tongues as much as I can. And I have. And I had others to do it too, and we're seeing results. We're seeing big results. We're seeing results that when we pray, God answers. Not only that, we see that refreshes. When I speak in tongues, when I pray in tongues at night or in the morning, whenever it is, go on a walk, I do it all every time I can. I feel a refreshing freshness in my whole being at that time. If you are in a place to where the devil is pounding your brain and I cast it down in the name of Jesus. You start praying in tongues, it goes. It automatically goes. It has for me. Oppression, it has to go. Any of those things that you might be experiencing, when you start praying in tongues, it'll go. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hi, I got a text message from Ben. He's asking for some prayer. He said, hey, Dad, could you put in a prayer request for me? The roof of my Jeep was leaking, and I prayed this morning, but I would like it if everyone could pray for it as well. So, Ben's making a prayer request. He had to work late today, so not here. So I ask you, Lord, there was some icy rainstorm here, and everything froze up, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that Ben's roof, maybe around the sunroof or wherever it's leaking, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would send your angels now and fix that roof so that it doesn't leak anymore. I thank you, Lord, putting myself out on a ledge here to ask you these things, Lord, to make sure that this thing does happen. In Jesus' name, I pray for what we pray and ask for, believing we receive it. And I thank you, Lord, for doing this as quick as possible. In Jesus' name, I pray. And thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Do you mind if I pray, Andrew?
Sure.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that roof to be healed. In Jesus' name, I command it not to be patched, but to be restored. In Jesus' name, I command not one other drop come down out of that roof in the name of Jesus. We command it by the power and the blood and the faith that God has put in us. And just like Andrew said, your word says that when we believe that we have received, bless God, it's done. And I believe it, Lord, and I thank you that Benjamin's roof on his Jeep is fixed, repaired, not fixed, it is restored as new in Jesus' name. And not one other drop of water come down out of that roof in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Glory to God, I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Woo, my. I know it's done. We're going to hear a testimony about it. Thank you, Jesus. My. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all mind if I pray for everybody? Well, I tell you what, let's do. How many of them have a need? Okay. If I pray, y'all going to believe? Okay. I'm gonna do a little talking to you. Is that okay? Y'all, I tell you what, everybody say this with me. You don't have to do it out loud. You can do it by yourself. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, you said that by his stripes I was healed, and I believe your word. So right now, I believe that I received my healing. And by his stripes, I am healed. I believe I received it, and I shall have it. Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. And Father, in the name of Jesus, you said in Mark 11 and 23, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, that we shall receive it. In the name of Jesus right now, every circumstance that has gone awry in anybody's family or place or whatever it is, be restored in Jesus' name. Every one of them be restored in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, it is done. Provisions go to this fellowship in Jesus' name. Healings go to it in Jesus' name. Mind problems be healed in the name of Jesus. The word of God says it. I believe it. It's done. Thank you, Father, for relationships restored in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for complete restoration of our families to the Lord in the name of Jesus. I believe it. I thank you for it. Everybody here believes it too, Lord. And I praise you for it. Father, I thank you that the gifts of the Spirit would be evident in my life. Y'all say it. In my life, Lord, I thank you that the gifts of the Spirit are mine. And I thank you, Father, that it's going to be evident too. And we praise you for it. Father, we thank you for all that you've done to us. We thank you, Father, for replacing our old fleshly heart with one of your love. In Jesus' name, where we love everyone, even the most vile creature, we love them, Lord, because we want to see them free from the bondage that they're in. And Father, we praise you, we glorify you. And Lord, I thank you that every need is met because we all have faith to believe that when we pray, we believe that we have received in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, for taking all of these vile oppression spirits, condemnation, confusion, fear, go in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it. I thank you, Lord, and I ain't going to sneeze either in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Go, and I believe it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe everybody here has received what we've prayed for tonight in Jesus' name, that every family member, every friend that we prayed for is coming into the kingdom because of our faith. And it's the faith that you've given us, Lord. Amen. Yeah, Theo or Lana.
Amen. No, I receive that. We both do. I just wanted to extend that to my laptop. I recently came back from Missouri over the Christmas time period to a laptop that would not boot up whatsoever. And it's got a lot of documents on there, a lot of pictures, things like that. And I've been troubleshooting it for a few days, you know, taking off one piece at a time inside to see which one is bad. It's not the battery. It's not the charger. It's not the RAM. It's not, you know, it's not the motherboard, not the processor, none of that. And then the last thing I checked today was the NVMe. It's a solid state hard drive and it booted up. But of course, that's where all the programs are. The boot up Windows is on there. So that's basically the whole laptop in one little card. So thank you, Lord, that this healing is going to extend over to the laptop. It's just a laptop. It's not a big deal, but I believe it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to boot up and work just fine and everything's going to get restored. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We command that computer to act better than it ever has in Jesus' name and not lose one thing off of it in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, and it is going to last him as long as he needs it to last. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. It's going to run quicker, better than it ever has because you're the tech that's going to fix it in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your angel tech, your techie angel is on it right now in Jesus' name. That when he boots that thing up again, it's going to be automatically, completely healed, restored as new in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. But with all the programs on it. In the name of Jesus. Everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We thank you, Father, that it is done. Praise God forevermore. I believe it, and I ain't speaking against it no more because it is healed. Thank you, Jesus. That's the thing that the Lord is teaching me also is to keep my mouth shut about the way I feel. It's not how you feel. It's what the word says, right? It's what the word says. Somebody asks you, are you healed? You say, yeah, I'm healed. Well, how do you feel? It don't make any difference how I feel. Word says I'm healed. Bless God. You don't have to lie. You just tell them. It don't make any difference. I'm healed. Yeah, Pat.
Just a quick prayer. I know, you know, that Acts 1:8 that I posted there, the very next verse, I think, in chapter 2, said that they were all together or they were all in one accord. And I'm saying this in reference to the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues. I know that some of us have that experience more than others. We've all come from different, you know, doorways or paths from the Lord into this life that he's given us. And some of us, and I believe that one accord, that one mind and heart, I would like that to be intact in related to tongues. And I know that Michael, that you have a deeper knowledge of tongues and you're probably more experienced, more aware of all the different aspects. I know that I am not. I know that I speak in tongues and everything, but I just want to be in, I want to be in the understanding and from the frame of reference that you're speaking related to that gift and this gift. So I'm just asking that the Lord would give us all a common understanding and a common perspective related to the all of the gifts of the Spirit, but specifically the gift of tongues. And Lord, I just ask you to open up our eyes, open up our understanding, give us grace to perceive from your perspective the role that you want tongues to be in our life. And Lord, just bring us all together in this aspect, in this truth and in this reality, and allow us all to rest comfortably in all these gifts that you've given us, and to operate freely in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, it talks about the refreshing in tongues in Isaiah 28:11-12. He said, "My strange lips, and with another tongue he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest." It gives rest to him who is weary, and this is the refreshing. That's what tongues does. It gives you a refreshing. It brings back a cleanliness in you. It's speaking with strange lips. That's the refreshing, it says. And it came with the Holy Spirit when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Came with it. One of the best times to pray in other tongues. This is good. One of the best times to pray in tongues is when you don't feel like it. There are things that you need to do, and you need to do them, even when you don't feel like doing them. And that's one of the proofs that you need to do them. When you get tired, okay, when you get tired and you get ready to give up, when you don't see the use of getting up and making confession, that's when you need to start confessing what the Word of God says about you and start praying in tongues. That's the best time to do it. I tell you what, when you get down, you say, "Oh my goodness, this is crazy. I just feel so terrible. I can't do anything." That's the time to get up and start speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. And you'll find out that when you do that, all this stuff will lift off of you. After a while, it ain't going to be immediate. And it could be. Depends on how your faith is. But when you start doing that, building up your faith again, all that stuff will leave you. I'm telling you, you won't need a, what kind of aspirin do they have now? I forget. I hadn't taken an aspirin in 40 years, I guess. But you can do that. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. It's for edification of yourself. Refreshing brings it about when you speak in tongues, pray in tongues. You can do it silently. How many of you can do it in your mind? Yeah, you can do that in your mind. I'd rather speak it out loud myself. That's just me. I just have done it all my life, all my Christian life. All right. Anybody got any questions or any answers?
No. You would do it silently, like if you were in public, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You sure can. Okay. Walking down the street and praying in tongues.
Yeah. On the bus and stuff. Yeah.
On the bus. Yeah. Or you could just blare it out and watch them move away and give you a seat. Guarantee that'll happen. Praise God. I remember Sandy talking about, was in a church one time, and she was praying in tongues, and there was two Chinese ladies behind her, and after the service they came shuttling up to her and said, We heard you speaking in Chinese. Where'd you learn Chinese? Mandarin Chinese. She said, "Ma'am?" She said, "No, you," she said, "you were speaking in Mandarin Chinese. Where did you learn this?" She said, "I don't know Chinese." She said, "Oh, you were speaking it perfectly." She said, "That was when I was speaking in tongues. I was praying in tongues. That's the, and she went on to explain what it was. And she said, what was I saying? And they told her that the Lord was talking directly to those two ladies, telling them that they needed this Jesus that they were hearing about, and told them some stuff, and they were just excited about it. And I've heard stories like that a lot, you know, people speaking in tongues that couldn't speak. Hey, I'll tell you what, I remember a story about Wigglesworth. He could go up to people. He did this a number of times. He went up to some Italians one time and was preaching to them in Italian, but he was praying in tongues. And he could interpret what he was saying. He could understand what he was saying to them. Yeah, and that's what we're going to be doing here. I'll be coming over there, Joe. I'll understand every word you say, brother. Amen. Lord of God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody got anything we need to pray about before we close out tonight? Does anybody not believe anything about the tongues? Does anybody have trouble? Is everybody speaking in tongues? Is anybody not speaking in tongues? Okay, that's great. Praise God.
There is Ben.
Ben? No, we prayed for him the other night. He's speaking in tongues. Yeah. He just hadn't opened his mouth yet. He will. He will. I believe it. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Ben. We praise you, Father, that you're going to give him a full language. Glory to God. And we know it because you're not a God that would lie. And I know it. We prayed it. We believe it. We thank you for it, Father. He's going to just blurt it out here one of these days, right here on the fellowship. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, you sure can, Joe. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another great night. It's been a wonderful fellowship. We thank you for all the wonderful testimonies and the teachings. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to place it in our hearts to do the things that you want us to do, Lord. And we're going to be not only a reader of the word, a studier of the word. We're going to be doers of the word. We don't have to be led by the Spirit because the word says to go out, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel. That's what you say. That's a direct command from you, Father. We thank you that we're going to be doers of the word. Praise God forevermore. And Lord, I repent from not asking that lady today about if she wanted me to pray for her. Lord, I know you prompted me and I was in a hurry and I just ignored it. Please forgive me, but the next one that comes up, I guarantee you I'll stop her. I don't care how many grocery carts she's pushing. She's going to get prayed for. Bless God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, y'all be blessed, you hear? We shall see y'all. Oh, by the way, no Friday streaming because this is Pot Blessing Weekend. I don't know if they're going to turn it on or not for Saturday. I doubt it because we have a little short message and then we get to eating and then we get to playing. It's an eating meeting. You know what I mean?